From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Melissa Bloch.
And I'm Robert Siegel. Director Joe Wright and I have made the same movie, almost down to the last detail. We both read Ian McEwan's novel Atonement, and we both came up with amazingly similar images of its locales, the 1930s English country house, the British evacuation from Dunkirk in 1940, London during the Blitz. It's astonishing to say this, but we even saw the characters the same way, especially the imaginative Bryony Tallis, who loves to write plays and stories.
What's it about? It's complicated. Yes. It's about a young girl. A young and foolish girl who sees something from her bedroom window which she doesn't understand, but she thinks she does. I probably won't ever finish it.
There's only one difference between my movie and Joe Wright's movie, and it's a distinction that's at the core of Atonement, both the novel and the film. My movie exists only in my head. His is opening this weekend. Joe Wright is all of 36. His only previous feature film was Pride and Prejudice. And while he never had to screen that movie for Jane Austen herself, there did come a time when Ian McEwan, the novelist, got a look at what Wright had made of his novel.
When we were filming, he came up and ate some cucumber sandwiches and drank some tea with us, but not much more than that. And then I showed him a cut of the film not too late on in the editing process, and I was terrified the day he came to watch it. He was sat two rows in front of me, and I stared desperately at the back of his head, trying to read something from his hair follicles, but they gave nothing away. And so it was only when the lights came up and he turned round that I saw he was actually very enthusiastic about the film, as was his wife and his agent, who was sat there weeping his eyes out. But he did have some thoughts at that stage, and we talked about them, and we involved those thoughts in our process.
Well, it sounds like a more pleasant experience than having it be some studio mogul looking at a film in the same way. To have the novelist actually reacting is
absolutely. And I'm very, very lucky that in my job I get to meet these extraordinary intellects and get to learn something from them. I always used to be terribly worried when I was a kid, because you'd hear these 60s kind of guys talking and say, well, you've got to have something to say, man. And I'd worry that I didn't have anything to say. You know, what have I got to say, Dan? Mm-hmm. What have I got to say? And it was later that I realized that it was fine not to have anything to say, as long as you realized you had everything to learn. And working on and with McEwan's spectacular novel, I was able to learn an enormous amount from him and from his writing.
The writer, Bryony, is portrayed by three different actresses because she appears at three different stages of her life. Mm. How do you, as a director, how do you get Saoirse Ronan, who plays Bryony, age 13, and Romola Gary, who plays her as an 18-year-old, and then, of course, Vanessa Redgrave, who plays the older Bryony. How do you direct them to try to plausibly be the same person at such different ages?
Well, the first and probably most important decision that we made was we decided to cast the youngest Bryony first. So often when people are casting various or a number of actors to play the same person through time, they cast the middle one or the star first, the oldest one first. So say they cast Nicole Kidman, and then they have to find a kid that can not only act but also someone who really looks like Nicole Kidman. And often one or the other is compromised. So what we did with this is we cast the kid first. Saoirse kind of came out of nowhere and, you know, knocked our socks off.
So you're saying that Vanessa Redgrave got the part because she could do a reasonable Saoirse Ronan at age 75?
Yeah, well, kind of. I mean, I'd always had Vanessa in my mind to play her, but I didn't actually offer her the part until after I'd found the young Bryony. And then when we went into rehearsals, we spent some time just doing very silly, simple exercises. I got them all to just copy each other's movements, you know, games that kids play. And we kind of took the lead from Saoirse, the way Saoirse performed the role. And then as we were filming, I'd show Romola or Vanessa their life history in film. We shot it chronologically, so we first did young Bryony's stuff, and then we did Romola's stuff, and then we did Vanessa's stuff. And so they were able to see their own memories, if you like.
But given the shooting schedule, were they actually on the set together at all, or were they in totally different parts?
No, never.
I was struck by an irony, perhaps only a surface irony, that you, having made Pride and Prejudice and now Atonement in the way that you have, are almost the director as surrogate reader for all of us. The way you read the book is the way that we see the movie. And reading, I gather, from your own life story, has not been an easy thing.
No, I am dyslexic, and so I started reading very, very late. And as I say, my job is an education for me. I get to read books that I should have read as a kid and wasn't able to. And so I get to educate myself now.
But reading itself, the act of reading, is now significantly easier for you than it was when you were an adolescent?
It's easier now through practice, but I'm still very, very slow. It takes me a good long time to read. But, you know, in a way, that also allows me time to think around what I'm reading, you know? I have to read each word rather than I know some people. I mean, my agent, for instance, can read about, like, 11 scripts on a flight between London and New York. I just don't know how she does that. So for me, it just takes me a bit more time, but I read each word and I consider each word carefully.
And a corollary of that would be that when you read a novel, you live with it for a longer time than somebody who's dashing it off very quickly.
Absolutely. And also what I do is, because I think visually, not being able to read meant that other parts of my brain were pushed further, and when I read a book, I have to kind of see it. It's taken me quite a long time to realise that that's what's going on. I thought everyone was like that, but it seems that some people do literally think in words. It was interesting, a producer on the film, when McEwan came to set one day, was showing him some dailies and asked whether it was like he envisaged it. And McEwan said, well, I didn't envisage it. He didn't think about it in pictures. He thought about it in words. It lives in a literary reality rather than a pictorial reality. And I think I live in a pictorial reality.
So you've got the right job in that case, being...
Absolutely.
Being a film director, yes. You're...
I mean, I'm very, very lucky to have found my job.
Well, Joe Wright, thank you very much for talking with us about Atonement.
Thank you. A great pleasure to talk to you too.
Joe Wright, his film Atonement opens today. To see one example of how he has translated Ian McEwan's novel to the screen, you can visit our website. At npr.org, you can compare a passage from the novel to that same scene in the film.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.